Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 31st in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, the blueprint for liberty, with all of its checks and balances, to restore the republic. Welcome to the broadcast. We got a row to hoe, that's for sure. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The problem is, folks, they may force us to not be peaceful. We'll talk about that today a little bit. We've got a lot to cover, very little time. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. Welcome, sir.
Well, hi there again. Another week come and gone. I don't know what's happened to the... I think that the Earth has accelerated its spin on its axis, and we still think we're moseying along at the pace we were just a few years ago. It's just amazing to me how quickly the time is flying. So, I don't know, yeah. Maybe I'm the only one that senses that, but...
Well, the problem is, Dr. Bradley, the older you get, the more that you recognize that. And I think that
that's what I always thought when I was a kid. You know, I mean, it seemed like Christmas took forever and getting to a summer vacation through the school year took forever. But, you know, I talk to kids nowadays and they say to me, it just seems like it was just Christmas. Or, I mean, even little kids, it seems like, are just... somehow touched by how quickly things are passing. And I don't know. God maybe has accelerated the time for the good of those that he hopes to save still. And maybe that is it. And thank heavens for that.
Prayer regardless, right?
Yes, it is indeed.
Yesterday we were with Brian Rust and Kelly Finnegan. RustCoinAgift.com doing a phenomenal job. And we talked about, of course, the Honest Money Report. And we talked about how surprising it is that they've still managed to hold gold and silver to the same levels, even though there's so much turmoil in the world on every front you can think of. Inflation, I mean, the list just goes on and on. Threat of war, we could keep going. But Kelly Finnegan brought up something fascinating. He says, you know, if you go look at the debt clock, it's just going up so fast it makes you dizzy. But when you watch that, if you actually look at the national debt clock online and you go over to the right, then you see this chart that shows the amount of paper to reality with gold and silver. Now listen to me, and then I want your response to this, Dr. Bradley. This is fascinating. It is 300 and something to one when it comes to silver paper versus what they actually have ounces of silver to back that paper up. In other words, if one person called for an ounce of silver, then, you know what, 299 plus people couldn't get an ounce of silver because they only have 1 ounce for every 300, whatever it was. I don't have the number in front of me, on paper. When it comes to gold, it's the same problem, but it's 120 to 1 on paper versus what they have to back up the paper that they've kind of played games with. Right now, when a bank fails, they've been able to, you know, just print money out of thin air, or have another bank send a bunch of digital currency over and bail out the other bank so everybody feels like it's okay. And as long as you can stop a massive run by playing that Rob Peter to pay Paul game, then you know what? You could still keep the lie afloat. But the second people really start taking possession of their metals that they got in paper right now, game over, doctor. It would be over in a second because the con game would be completely exposed. We talked about that. I don't think that's happening yet. I think too many people still leave their reality in paper, so the con game continues. But that alone would call a halt to the con game so fast it's not even funny. Your thoughts?
Well, a couple of things come to mind, and one of them's going to give you a little more to worry about, but the the other one's just going to have you shaking your head. You know, when I was a lot younger, a lot of people in my age category, you know, newly married and all that kind of stuff, they did rob Peter to pay Paul. They paid off their Visa card with their MasterCard card, or they paid the minimum payment, just the interest payment, you know, every month from one card to the other. And you know what? It's you're digging a hole you ain't going to get out of. That's kind of what you're talking about here with this debt system.
Yeah, not only will you never get out of it, but eventually you won't be able to dig fast enough.
That's right. And I really personally know people that couldn't dig fast enough to the point that it cost them their marriages, it cost them their economic freedom, all sorts of things. So, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. But the other thing that I just want to throw in the heap, just when you thought everything was okay. Anyway, that's a cynical laugh, by the way. Anyway, the this thing that China has negotiated with Iran and Saudi Arabia, this peace arrangement, I don't know what they're actually calling it, if, whether it's a treaty or just they've come to detente or what they have. But the fact of the matter is that it is normalizing China and Iran's, I mean, not China, Saudi Arabia's and Iran's relations with each other. Saudi Arabia is normalizing its stuff with Syria. I think that may have been in the mix anyway with Biden throwing the F-15s against the so-called Iranian elements there because this idea of destabilizing that relationship, because every time somebody steps into this and it destabilizes our power base in the Middle East, for example, right now, you know, these petrodollars that have buoyed the dollar up for so long since the Nixon administration, that has been the de facto currency backer, you know, the intrinsic value that's been behind dollars. Everybody needs dollars, and if they'll only sell you dollar, I mean, sell you oil with dollars, people are all after dollars. But here's the deal: I think China's currency is going to get in the mix. I think that Saudi Arabia and Iran may start selling their oil for, I mean, it may just be gold. I mean, some people are trading in gold right now.
Gold and or other countries' currencies making us not the hegemonist money we thought we were, and the con game comes down on that front, too.
Well, that's the problem. When that really happens, when everybody wakes up and says, holy cow, this paper we got ain't worth diddly squat. You can't burn enough of it to keep warm, and so on and so forth. The real value of the dollar is going to manifest itself. And the real value is zero right now. And I saw a presentation by the head of Kenya the other day. I don't know if you saw this. Look it up. It is so refreshing to see a head of a country talking to his people with such candor, with such positivity, with such enthusiasm. Now, you know, let's just say you don't agree with everything that's there. Let's just say that. But at least there was somebody exchanging a feeling of openness with their people. It gave them hope. It gave them a feeling that, yeah, we're going to get through this. What he was doing is he was telling the people about, with the dollar going to the toilet, that we're not going to let that ruin our economy. We're going to have a free economy here, and we're going to make certain that the dollar does not drag us down. And the thing is, the guy was so positive, so upbeat. I mean, the crowd was just eating out of his hand. And how long has it been here in this country since we've really had that kind of think? I mean, think about if they pulled
even
Joe Biden.
Even with Trump or Reagan, we never got candor like
no,
that.
No, we did not. I mean, last time was maybe James Madison. I don't know. But at any rate, the fact of the matter is, here we have our country, greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on the earth in former times, has come to the point where we have as our chief executive officer. So I don't know how it goes exactly, and maybe people think I overstate this, but I get the image that they have to kind of pull him away from his crayons and his coloring book.
Well, yeah,
to get him to stand up.
We just played yesterday on the radio a soundbite where Biden handler was caught on a hot mic giving instructions to Joe. So Joe is going out to meet with some people, and they're like, okay, Joe, listen, the ramp is on your left. You need to go down the ramp. Then you see that blue marker. You got to stand on that blue marker and face the crowd. See the crowd over there? Okay, face them. And, you know, you heard the handler, and then you heard Joe Biden and stuff like that. He literally has to be told where to go, what to say, what to do, literally all the time, so he doesn't go off the rails and forget.
Well, you heard
he
what he did.
He got caught on a hot mic now.
Well, you heard what happened in front of the Canadian Parliament. I mean, he's standing up there, yeah, China's a great country. You know, it's like, oh, no, excuse me. It probably came in his ear from his handler. No, I meant Canada. I mean, it's like, holy cow. Like I say, they pull him away from his crayons and his coloring book.
But it's a national security crisis. How come the Republicans aren't saying, they're not even focused on this? They're busy going, yeah, we got rid of three Democrats on a committee. We're doing really good there, doctor. Yeah. And I mean, they're nuts. And nobody, even on the Republican side, or even the conservative Republicans that we used to hail, a Ron Paul, a Rand Paul, you know, there's a few people speaking out, but not many, not enough to even matter.
And what they speak out on is so transitory and absolutely shallow. I mean, there just isn't a statesman, I don't think. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm in the early morning hours here. My brain fog hasn't cleared or something, and I can't see clearly. But the fact of the matter is, where are our statesmen? Where are those? And by the way, I truly am absolutely, unequivocally, completely convinced that if we had a correct foreign policy, there is zero chance we would go to war. There is zero chance that we would be invaded and have all sorts of turmoil in our country.
Yeah, right, because none of the militaries would be even advanced far enough to matter, for that matter, if we had been true from the beginning. Now that we've transferred all kinds of technologies, we're creating our own demise there. But you're absolutely right. It's a tragic reality. There's only one statesman so far that I, well, maybe two, that I see standing up at the general level right now. I see Ron Paul standing up pretty good. Rand Paul doing a decent job. I want to talk about when we get back about the mission of Campaign for Liberty and about a bill you got to know about, folks.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
True Passover versus Easter. The Catholic Church and most denominations follow the Jewish Passover. Here is the Jewish tradition. The Passover takes place 14 days after the new moon, after the equinox. But what does God say? In Isaiah 1 verse 14, quote, "Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being," unquote. Now notice God's word versus Jewish tradition. Quote, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover," unquote. That's from Leviticus 23, verse 5. God's year begins on the spring equinox. Passover is always on the 14th day of God's year, the 14th day after the equinox. The Sunday after the Passover is Resurrection Sunday. None of this is about fertility, which is exactly what Easter is all about. Easter bunny and eggs, fertility rites are paganism.
All right, Dr. Scott Bradley with me, freedomsrisingsun.com, the website. I want to talk about the mission of Campaign for Liberties for a second. I want to talk about principles, and then I want to get reality check on a bill that is happening now that nobody in the mainstream and nobody really is speaking out about, except for Ron and Rand, interestingly enough. The mission, by the way, of Campaign for Liberty is to promote and defend the great American principles of individual liberty, constitutional government, sound money, free markets, and a constitutional foreign policy by means of education, issue advocacy, and grassroots mobilization. Ron Paul, campaignforliberty.org. Okay, I'm really impressed with Campaign for Liberty and what they've been able to accomplish and do. I know it seems like not enough, but man, Ron sure used his life. He's had a couple of missteps, but he's used his life really in defense of liberty big time. Well, he highlights a principle in an email that he sent me along with others on his list. And the reality is this, listen carefully. Far too often, bills and resolutions pass the House or the Senate by what's called unanimous consent. And what that means, that unless a single representative or a single senator vocally objects to a bill on the floor, then it's considered passed. In other words, they put a bill up. If you don't object to it on the floor by verbal or whatever, then the vote is considered passed by that House of Congress, so the House of the Senate. Often these unanimous consent bills pass with only one or two members present in the chamber at the time. It is insane. So the principle is unanimous consent means they don't really vote on the bill like they should. It means they're trying to ram something through and they do it in the dead of night or some other time when no one's really present except for, you know, whoever wants to just ram the thing through. How they get that done is criminal, folks. Okay? But that's what exactly what Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, tried to do yesterday. Now, we thought Josh was a friend. A lot of things he stands up for are good. But in this case, Hawley presented a watered-down version of the Restrict Act. If you know what that is, we'll talk about it. But Hawley presented a watered-down version of the Restrict Act and tried to circumvent the normal process so he could ram it through before anybody knew what was happening using this unanimous consent idea. Fortunately, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky objected to the unanimous consent in this case and stopped Hawley's scheme in its tracks. Now you say, wait a minute, I thought Hawley was our friend. I know. Now, Hawley railed against the Chinese communist government, rightly so, for spying on Americans, but yet he doesn't seem to have a problem with the U.S. spying on the American people, and that is where the rub is. This issue is not about TikTok. This issue is about our liberty. All right, Lindsey Graham was in an interview and asked about this bill. They asked him about support for the view, support for this bill in an interview. And the statement that the host made was this: didn't the United States regarding this bill just say we're going to protect you from China by spying on you? Well, Lindsey Graham replied, I don't think I supported this bill. The problem is he's listed as a co-sponsor, folks. How does that work? So they're all running from it as they try to push for it. Well, Ron and Rand Paul caught him at it. A bill called the Restrict Act was set to sail through Congress, they believe innocuously, as an effort to ban TikTok, the Chinese-owned social network, which, as you know, is the most popular app in the world right now. Okay, so the idea was, hey, let's stop this thing. But folks, what is the Restrict Act really? It's the most terrifying piece of legislation in years, if not the most terrifying piece of legislation ever introduced in American history, folks. It would give the government, that's the United States government, the ability to target anyone they deem as a, quote, national security risk. Regular people like you and me. And it would allow the government to then remotely access every piece of electronics we own, from our computers and our cell phones to the camera on the front porch, folks. If they find you in contempt or violation, they can seize your property. fine you $1 million and throw you in the clink and imprison you for 20 years, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? This bill, the Restrict Act, would destroy free speech in America, folks. It's absolutely critical that you contact Congress right now and demand they vote no on the Restrict Act, which would utterly eviscerate the First Amendment. This is serious. Don't expect a fair trial either. The Restrict Act limits judicial review to the notoriously corrupt and partisan D.C. Circuit Court. I mean, this is absolutely insane. How Josh could be on the side of this, I don't know. If he doesn't know what he's talking about, if he's just ignorant, or the reality is, folks, he did it on purpose. Okay? This is serious. I don't even know where to go with this, Dr. Bradley. Are you caught up on this bill?
You know what? The depth, and I think the bill's like 55 pages long. I haven't read the bill. I guess I'm going to have to grind through it. But, I mean, I'm going to have to go back and just do a full check. I don't know
if they say
page
this.
Count even right.
In other words, they can write the rules and hold them against you before you can even hear of them. Everything they do is exempt from the Freedom of Information Act as well on this thing. Well, I don't know how you even respond to this.
No, just the answer is no. You know, just don't do it. I mean, and that should be the final solution. Now, people need to understand that they have been at this game for a long, long time. And the obfuscation, the absolute un-Americanist approach to things. I look back at the USA Patriot Act, so-called. It was introduced on the 23rd of October, 2001. It was passed by the House on the 24th of October, 2001, by 357-66. It was passed by the Senate on the 25th of October, 2001, 98-1, and it was signed the 26th of October by George W. Bush. Nobody had read it. Well, I got a chance in 2004, I believe it was, April of 2004, to testify against it before the United States Senate Judiciary Committee. And it was being reauthorized then. These buffoons, baboons, and bozos that were running this thing through, we don't have a Fourth Amendment anymore. And so I think this new act that's being railroaded through with cyclonic force, it basically, the Fourth Amendment got eviscerated, destroyed, whatever. We don't have one. This is doing the same to the First Amendment. And we need to say no. They need to, in fact, let me just go back to when I was testifying against this bill. They had all sorts of weeping widows and everything else that were there to cry about a husband that got lost in the trade towers or something like that. You know what? We don't throw the nation away because someone is a little emotional. That's what's happening, by the way, with the Second Amendment right now, as we have weeping children standing before city councils or whatever, begging them, whatever, to destroy our liberty based upon their emotion. This whole thing, we are acting gut reaction on all of these things to destroy everything. Yeah, TikTok is for idiots and bozos too. I mean, it's such a woke thing. I've started in recent times using the word woke as a shorthand for brain damaged. And there's just a lot of brain damage. Most popular in the nation. Are you kidding me? So anyway, I mean, what's wrong with us? But to pass this thing this way, it is a tragic travesty of what should be a high and noble legislative process.
Everything they do is exempt from the Freedom of Information Act, so they will do it all in secret. The Restrict Act is the Patriot Act on steroids, because you might be opposed to U.S. involvement in the war in Ukraine. Hey, the United States government can seize your property, fine you $1 million, and throw you in the clink for 20 years with this thing, folks. This is insane. You gotta vote and push for the vote for no.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Former President Trump was indicted by a Manhattan grand jury yesterday. Trump's attorney, Alina Haba, on Fox News, says her client is being charged with something he didn't do.
He'll be charged with something he didn't do, but I think it's going to be a books and records kind of charge. And knowing Alvin Bragg, the Soros-backed DA, I assume that he's going to try and stack several of these misdemeanors that a normal person would never be indicted for, let alone charged with.
It is the highest-profile U.S. visit by a Taiwan leader in years. Nonetheless, President Tsai Ing-wen is keeping largely out of the public eye. A U.S. stopover that began Wednesday in New York marks Tsai's first foreign travel since mid-2019 and comes at a time of heightened tensions with China that many fear could easily fall into an armed conflict. A New Jersey congressman says he's going to try and help a Wall Street journalist detained in Russia.
Representative Josh Gottheimer, who's a member of the House Intelligence Committee, says he'll do everything he can to help secure New Jersey native Evan Gershkovich's freedom. He's requested an immediate briefing from the committee and will continue to be in communication with the State Department. Russia's main security agency says Gershkovich is being held on suspicion of espionage in the interests of the American government. I'm Skip Kelly.
California's snowpack is at record high levels following a series of atmospheric rivers, and forecasters warn another winter storm is due to hit the Golden State this weekend. The latest bomb cyclone associated with an atmospheric river that put more heavy snow across the Sierra Nevada this week and helped break the record set in 1982-83. Scientists at Tel Aviv University found that plants actually make a popping sound similar to bubble wrap that is made at a frequency that humans cannot hear. The research shakes up what most botanists thought, that plants were silent. This is USA News.
Do you have heart failure and often hear,
"Those stomach issues ruined your birthday.
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa."
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist and ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM. A rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Do you have a story to tell? Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network handles everything. If you have a print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, call Audiobook Network now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-734-1229. 800-734-1229.
Dr. Scott Bradley with me, freedomsrisingsun.com. We're talking about this Restrict Act. Everything they do is exempt, supposedly, from Freedom of Information Act requests, so they'll do it all in secret. The Restrict Act is the Patriot Act on steroids because you might be opposed to the war in Ukraine. Hey, they can fine you $1 million, seize your property, throw you in jail for 20 years. This is nothing less than a complete destruction of the First Amendment. Okay, it'll give government control over public speech, folks. Think of it, ladies and gentlemen. Ordinarily, they give the most pernicious, most dangerous bills, the most misleading names you can imagine. Think of it. Spy on Americans. Call it the Patriot Act. Tax, spend, and inflate. Call it the Inflation Reduction Act. Universal gun registration. Call it the SAFE Act. New York did. And so on. It's just insane what we're seeing here. But you know what? This is Josh Hawley, of all people, that put this through. Everybody thinks Josh is a good guy, standing up for liberty and everything else. What on earth is going on, Doctor? The ultimate betrayal.
Well, I mean, this is satanic. I mean, and just think about it for a minute. Lucifer will tell a million good things to get one fatal truth, or whatever you want to call it, one fatal threat into your life that you accept. And so what would you expect? I mean, here's what this is what they've done this forever, Sam. I mean, look at what they said about Nixon. Oh, yeah, Nixon's such an anti-communist. He's the only guy that could open up the dialogue with China and not have it questioned. This is the kind of stuff the New World Order guys do every moment of their existence. They plan on this stuff, and they use the absolute most innocuous approach to things. I mean, look what they did with the 1968 Gun Control Act. They had six movie stars, and we could talk at length about this, manly men that handled guns all the time on the silver screen, that went on the talk shows and they told the people of America, you know me, I'm comfortable with guns, but you know what, we need some common sense gun laws in this country. You know, call your senators and congressmen and get them to vote in favor of this act that LBJ was pushing. LBJ admitted it never would have passed without those six manly men, cowboys, if you will, props on the silver screen that talked about it, including Charlton Heston, who became later the NRA president a few times. So this is what they do. This is how they do it. You cannot go to sleep when Republicans are in office. I'm sorry to have to inform you of that, people, but if you haven't realized that yet, you really are asleep. I mean, I get this all the time. Oh, man, we got a president that's a Republican, and he's got the House and the Senate in his pocket. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go back to watching the Super Bowl or whatever. I mean, I always bring that up because it is such an egregious distraction. Circus, you know, bread and circus stuff from Rome. But the fact of the matter is, that is how we operate. And I mean, we had even Rand Paul. I mean, you know, Rand Paul has done some good things, but he endorsed Mitt Romney for president. Can you believe that? Over his dad. His dad
was president.
That's
why I say he had a few missteps. There's no question about that.
Brain cramps, or I don't know what it was, but
well,
but
he basically came back and eventually explained that he had to do it to go along to get along and to get this done.
Oh,
he had to do that.
Yeah.
He found himself caught in all that, those lies about you got to betray yourself to win, right?
It's not lie. True. It's a lie.
Right, that's
You're
what
right.
I'm saying. It's a lie. Look, you got to betray yourself to win. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. That is a lie. It isn't the way it should work. And this act is serious, ladies and gentlemen. This, you got to vote no on the Restrict Act. You got to understand what it is, and you got to understand how evil it really is. But man, Josh Hawley, of all people, literally shoved this down our throats almost, and Rand stopped it. And thanks for Rand for doing it, Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got to say thank you when things happen. But you cannot assume that they're going to do the right things. I, without going into a lot of detail, because I know you've got a nationwide audience on this thing, but there was, and I'll just give you the nibble around the edges details, because there aren't, don't have time, but there was a so-called conservative Utah legislator that had the ear of all the conservatives in Utah. He constantly was in front of them. His son is one of the principal movers and shakers in selling us out to China. He has this legislator's last name, and he's got the aura of this conservative individual. And it's like, no, this
hey,
guy.
You can throw out names if you want. We're not afraid of
well,
that.
Well, I know, but nobody would know any of these things. But the fact of the matter is, we just have got to watch. It's like Andy Jackson said in his farewell address, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. It's eternal vigilance. And so we must be vigilant constantly. This is not something that maintains itself. You can't maintain it with whisk brooms and lavender sprays, as J. Reuben Clark said. This has to be something, it's a get your fingers dirty. Put some back-breaking labor into it. This has got to take some attention now. We are losing our liberty at a much faster rate than I could have possibly imagined. I mean, 30 years ago, it's appalling what we've lost in that 30-year period. In the 22 years since, it's not quite 22 years, but since the Patriot Act was passed, that stuff has eviscerated, eroded, it has crumbled the foundation of this nation. And now we got another one to add on top of it. This stuff. Now, again, I'm not an advocate for TikTok at all, but the fact of the matter is that the devil is in the details. And if these people are just absolutely determined to destroy your liberty, they're going to put it in innocuous sounding things, just like you say. You know, it will make it sound good. Oh, Patriot Act. Oh, I'm for a Patriot Act. That's got to be good. You know, what did they call the 1986 Gun Control Act, the Firearms Protection Act? Oh, yes, I'm for that too. But you know,
by God, we've got to protect firearms, don't you know?
Every single step of the way, these people that must stay up nights thinking about these things, and we are so gullible, so shallow, so unwilling to investigate and deeply think about, that they just kind of basically fly through unimpeded. It's back to the days of FDR, when he had such super majorities in the House and the Senate, that he would call them over the legislature and say, hey, pass a bill on this subject. We'll get you a bill later. No, really. No, that really happened. And they'd go through, I say, cyclonic speed. I mean, people don't know it's like a tornado. I mean, it's there. And it's destructive. And nobody's standing in the way. Our statesmen have gone the way of all the world, if you will. They've passed on. And so it does, we the people have a responsibility to intervene on these things. And we need to throw the bums out. The problem is Carol Quigley. Yeah, Carol Quigley hit the nail on the head back in the 60s when he published Tragedy and Hope, his huge book, 1,500 plus pages, about how the globalists were taking over the United States by, well, one of their key tactics was capturing both parties. You know, so you could throw the bums out without throwing the bums out. With slight nuances between the two, you're on the same train wreck. It's going off the cliff regardless of who you got in there. And this Josh Hawley.
Yeah, because if you get rid of TikTok Republican style, it's a winner, sir. Lies.
That's what you'd think. But, I mean, Trump, I guess I had to go back and confirm this, but I would say he probably created the largest debt of any single president in a four-year period in the entire history of the United States. And I know Barack Obama was abominable that way. But I think Trump put it on steroids, and everybody's like, well, he's a Republican, though. Yeah. He must be doing it for a
You're right
reason.
About that. Now, this is really a distraction in many ways, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. But we've got to talk about it because it's main news, and people want to hear real constitutionalists, articulate the reality on this thing. A Manhattan grand jury has indeed voted to indict former President Donald Trump for his alleged role in the hush money to Stormy Daniels. The news comes over a week after Trump said that he would be arrested. Here's what's funny. The DA just said a couple of days ago that, Donald's claiming he's going to get arrested is bogus. And now, there you have it. So the credibility crisis for the DA on that is already evident. But Trump is the first former president to face criminal charges like this, doctor. Like it or not, distraction or not, it's historical.
Well, it certainly is historical, and the problem is every historical incident that they bring up nowadays is a tragic historical incident. I mean, there's nothing that says, whoa, best economy we've ever had, or my goodness, I feel freer today than I did yesterday. No, none of that stuff ever happens. So these historical kinds of things are always an undertow. But, you know, when Richard Mack was on with us the other day and we talked about this, I mean, all of those things apply in spades. I mean, this idea of the blackmail that Stormy Daniels was involved in, the idea that you could indict a ham sandwich in New York, the idea that signing a non-disclosure agreement is not illegal, and they're going to get him on some paperwork flaws. Holy cow. We could talk about that after the break, maybe. I don't know.
We'll do it. We'll talk about Nancy as well.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump is facing, listen to this, 34 criminal counts of falsifying business records in the indictment. How do you respond to this? Okay, well, 34 charges here. They're just trying to make something stick, Dr. Bradley.
Well, there's, in my mind, there's no question that this was done under the ham sandwich clause that's in the New York jurisdiction of how they run their jurisprudence. I honestly, almost anything could be an error. I've got to just give you an example. Everything is, you remember how they're going to call good evil and evil good and light for darkness out of Isaiah? They'll make a man an offender for a word. That is the time we live in. And I've got a very good friend. He lost his federal firearms license due to a clerical error where he spelled a word out. I can't remember if he wrote the letter, numeral, that he should have spelled out the number. It was one of those silly things like that they took away his FFL on. Because, you know, he put one in there instead of spelling O-N-E out, okay? And so these kinds of things are absolutely trickery of clever devils. And it's just one of the things in America today, your taxes, for example, another great example. You call in to get some tax advice from an IRS person on the phone. Hey, what do I do in this instance? That agent tells you one thing. Another agent comes later on and looks at it and says, whoa, 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 we got one here, baby. I mean, it's so easy to do this. I got caught in a trap personally when I ran for the Senate the first time. The Senate does the vetting of candidates, and so you have to fill out some Senate paperwork. And literally and truthfully, if you tell the truth through the thing, you can't get through the paperwork because there are contradictory situations where on page 6 you answered this. Well, on page 12, if you answer as truthfully as you did on page 6, it's a gotcha. And I talked to an individual that was an attorney, had previously run for the Senate, and I asked him, I says, what do we do about this? And he says, yeah, I ran into that same problem when I was running. And I says, well, yeah, well, you're an attorney and you're a bright guy. Tell me what you did. And he says, I told them what they wanted to hear. He says, there is no good answer for that. I mean, and so what ended up happening is I was accused by Dianne Feinstein of an ethical violation. And I had an investigation done through that ethical group there that took a lot more paperwork to be filed and everything like that. You cannot win when clever devils are running the business. And I don't know all of these paperwork challenges that probably amount to about a misdemeanor and a half for Donald Trump. It's a get Trump campaign fulfillment. At least he's trying to fulfill his campaign promises. But then we go through all the things that Mac and you and I talked about in regards to, you know, indictments and arrests and extradition and the Secret Service being there to be his watchdog so that he doesn't have to be under lock and key of anybody. And you know, bringing them in and doing a perp walk. I mean, all this kind of stuff. It's a charade. And I guess I just find it rather kind of distasteful but typical of what you would get in New York or a lot of other places.
Think about this, though. 24 accounts of falsifying criminal or and falsifying your records, criminal. Now, listen to this, though. Despite investigating Trump since 2018, literally 5 years, Bragg waited until after Trump announced his 2024 candidacy for president, a clear indication that he's attempting to meddle with U.S. elections at this point to some degree. That's a big concern. If you don't think that's enough to show the political motivations, here's what Nancy Pelosi said on Twitter. She was roasted online for saying this. Former President Trump can prove innocence at trial. What the heck, doctor?
Well, it's probably a correct statement.
It's a correct statement, but what a disgrace that puts America in.
Yeah, it's and really, truthfully, we've talked about this before, too. The grand jury situation was set up, you look at the Fifth Amendment, was there to protect the innocent from going through a trial. And if there was not a ham sandwich to indict, you didn't indict them. I mean, that's just the way it was. The grand jury thing was a filtering process. We're supposed to have people that are not woke, brain-damaged individuals in there. They go out of their way. In most instances that I know of, there's a few rare exceptions. But in most instances, the grand jury is simply a rubber stamp. Well, the prosecutor would have never brought it to us if they hadn't have been sure there was some kind of violation. I mean, no. They are supposed to be thinking human beings that examine every fact and say, no, there's a bill or no bill. No, we don't indict or we do. And it's based upon the evidence that's presented. Now, I know. It's kind of one of those ex parte things where the accused probably doesn't even know in most instances that there's something that's being examined. So you don't have a defense attorney there on your, you know, on your side telling your story. But there's got to be a thinking human being on the end of the, and if you ever get on a grand jury, I hope and pray that you will look with great, I was going to say disdain.
Great care, though.
That great care, at least. I mean, I'm almost to the point of saying disdain, and I guess I shouldn't have even brought that word up. But so much of what is brought forth today is truly a railroad kind of thing based upon bad legislation that should not even have been passed the legislature ever before. It went through in such a terrible format that anybody that was reading it that had more than a half a brain would say, now, wait a minute, what were they trying to do here? And so, but the grand juries, most of the time, are basically a rubber stamp. It's almost as bad as the FISA court. The FISA court has turned away only a couple of handfuls of requests for warrants by the federal government. In all the years, I mean, they came into existence in 1978. I mean, these are people. It's an unconstitutional court. They're put into the court by nomination of the Supreme Court Chief Justice. Where does the Constitution give us that? No. It's the president that nominates and the Senate that approves. It's just every single aspect of it is false. But the grand jury. This grand jury process follows largely what the FISA court does, and they approve almost everything that comes before them. So, yeah, we should have expected an indictment. I mean, sorry, but true. But then all these other things come into play, and I would hope that, blackmail charges, extortion, whatever they're going to end up calling them, could be filed. I hope that there's a, you know, we get through this, but it is unprecedented. I mean, holy cow. Look what they did for Nixon. For crying out loud.
You're right about all that.
Gerald Ford.
But this seems to be worse, though. This seems to be worse, and here's the question for you. Now he's an outlaw president. How Trump's indictment makes him a legend, an icon, a folk hero, writes A.J. Rice. Is that what we've done? Turned Donald into a hero?
Well, let me put it
now,
this
not
way.
Not guys there's... like me and you, but that's what the nation's going to take it as. This might create a landslide for Trump.
No, I don't think so. I'll tell you what I think. I think those that hate him are going to hate him forever. I think those that love him are going to love him forever. There's a few people in the middle that say, yeah, he's done some good things, but man, has he done some stupid things.
Which is like me.
That's kind of where this is going to be. I don't think you're gonna change a percentage or two of the votes based on that's just a number I just made up right now. So what do I know? But the fact of the matter is, I think that his adherents are rabid, and I think his haters are rabid, and I think that if they run a ham sandwich against him, you're going to get the haters to vote for the ham sandwich. In this presidential
You're right
election.
About that. Again. Let me ask you this, though. Suppose Donald's part of the deep state, and suppose that they love to just paint him as the boogeyman, and they're nothing but playing the Hegelian dialectic to the umpth degree. Suppose they really love Donald. They don't care if Donald or Biden gets in there. They've both done so much damage, who cares? And they're basically just making you look. They're turning into a folk hero so that he will get elected, and that's what they really want. Under the guise of, we hate Trump, but we get incredible ratings out of it. We get a lot of money out of it. We get to polarize the American people and destroy the American people on this great, great, massive divide. And, hey, it's okay with us as the deep state if Donald gets in there, paints very extreme views and you know, says how evil the media is and does all this stuff. That's perfectly okay, because look at the damage he did. Yes, he did a lot of good, but think about the fast-track vaccines, Operation Warp Speed. Think about that. Think about the money that he spent.
USMCA. I mean, was rammed through by him.
And there was a lot of these things that he did. And so, hey, we're okay with Donald getting elected. Donald made a lot of changes that were good, but none of the changes that he made were permanent. He didn't shut down any government agencies. So he did enough to make everybody believe that he's true blue, but not enough to change the course of the country. And that's okay if we elect a guy like that, as long as he knows to do our bidding. Is it possible that it's the Hegelian dialectic played off to perfection and they really want Donald to be elected again?
Well, I don't sit in those circles to be able to make those decisions or to really verify that, but I can express opinions about how things have gone to the point that it almost doesn't matter, well, I hate to even say that, if they elect him or not, because there's a runaway train that everybody's on and they're going to go off the cliff. I personally believe that they're setting him up for defeat. I don't think that his Robin Hood national hero image is going to carry him through election. I think the election fixes that they've put in, quote unquote, were really election cheats. I think the more and more, and we've talked about this a little bit before, I think Michelle Obama is looking like their savior. They're doing this, presenting her in this soft light. It would give Barack another 8 years. So, again, he'd have his 8 years, he'd have Biden's 8 years, and he'd have her 8 years. And there's 20 years of Barack Obama, and I just don't think that that's going to be good for the country. But so anyway, whatever happens, I kind of think Trump's time has passed in terms of sitting in the Oval Office. And I know people are really passionately going to be opposed to that idea, but realistically, it just is one of those things. And I don't think DeSantis is the answer.
Who do you think they'll run on the Republican ticket? Who do you think they'll put Michelle Obama on the Democratic ticket in 24? Who do you think they'll put on the Republican ticket?
I think that you look at Nikki Haley, for example. She's a young world leader through the World Economic Forum thing. She was the United Nations ambassador under Trump. I mean, this woman has been trained for the world government sitting.
Yeah, the
I
Ministry
mean, she,
of
she's
Truth.
She's with Trudeau and all those. I mean, you look at who's out there. Show me a true statesman or woman.
Oh, there's not a
be
one.
Exclusive. I can't think of one. I don't know where they are. And DeSantis is for deep sixing the Constitution, for crying out loud. He wants to rewrite it. He said that.
Yeah, Trump wants to eat the Constitution, too. He said so. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hour one of the can, hour two coming back. Dr. Scott Bradley with me, man, and we got a lot to talk about. We'll do it on your radio. If you want to learn more about Dr. Bradley's incredible To Preserve the Nation series and more, freedomsrisingsun.com. If you want to donate liberally, that's the only time we believe in liberalism, by the way, your donations, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. God save the Republic.